Welcome into the Pokes Report Podcast. Zach Lancaster here alongside Brian Murphy.
Hello.
Possible special guest. He's going to be doing some work, but he might be chiming in as well.
Ryan Breeden.
I'm going to keep asking him questions over and over so that he can't work.
Did you say something? Co-host of the Afternoon Sports Drive.
We don't have a show today.
Sports writer at the Stillwater News Press. Play-by-play voice for Cowgirl Soccer.
And softball.
Fill in for basketball.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you have
many titles.
A man of many hats. Yep. And I don't ever think I've seen you wear a hat before.
I don't wear hats very often.
I
own many hats, but I don't wear many hats.
I have a ton of hats.
And quite oppositely, you probably haven't seen me without a hat very often.
Same goes for Zach.
Twice.
Yeah. Hey. See, if you can count it on one hand, that's pretty good.
There's one time in particular that I know for sure I've never seen you. I didn't see you wear a hat.
Yeah, what's up?
We were just talking about it. When we interviewed Casey and Darren Trump.
Oh, yeah, I was dressed up that
you
day.
You dressed up fancy.
I was. I had meetings that afternoon.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
You didn't have anything to do with the fact that we were talking to the president.
No, not at all. if any future podcasters out there listening, take headphones to the student union so that you can actually hear. I just had a stick mic that day, and so the other three are sitting there and have headphones. They can hear each other talk, and then all of a sudden it's my turn to ask a question. I have no idea what was being talked about, and they all three stare at me.
You're talking to me?
Oh, hi. What's it like being the president?
You like it here? Y'all having a good time? We're going to talk some Oklahoma State football. We're going to talk some Oklahoma State basketball. Still winless in the Big 12.
Yeah,
you know,
about that.
Not enjoyable. But I will say this: the game against BYU, and Ryan, we've talked about it all week. The game again, and you were there, so we'll talk about your experience. I'll say this real fast before we get into it. Mike Gundy went up to Robert in the middle of the third quarter. I think it was during their big breakdown when they had the fire eater, and they put Cosmo up on the Jumbotron and firecrackers going off, all kinds of crazy stuff. And Mike goes up to Robert and gets right in his face and says, "This is the best environment, the best atmosphere we've ever played in."
Yep.
So we'll talk about that. But other than the Tulsa game, and that's not saying much because Tulsa might be the worst team Oklahoma State faces in the next couple of years, I was more optimistic about the offense from what I saw against BYU. Even with Alan Bowman in the game, and we'll get into his performance, but even with Alan Bowman in the game, I had a lot of optimism about the offense. They played really well. They moved the ball up and down the field. They scored when they needed to. Not the best we've seen from Ollie Gordon in his career, but it was vintage Ollie. He was running the ball well. He hurdled some guy. I mean, three touchdowns. It was huge. I believe he's only the second or third player, maybe the second player in Big 12 history, to have eight or more touchdowns from the line of scrimmage against a Big 12 opponent in Big 12 history. It's huge. He has eight. He had five last year. He had three on Friday. So it was a fun game. It was a really disappointing game at the end of it. You give up a lot of yardage. Obviously, they score with about 10 seconds left to go in the game. Not really a lot to work on there. So, really disappointing. You had to end a four-game losing streak against Baylor. Ironically enough, the last time they had a five-game losing streak was in 2014, and they lost to Baylor and Waco for the fifth.
Goodness gracious.
That was the Mason Rudolph broken redshirt game. Yep. So
that was the last time that Oklahoma State was kind of in jeopardy of missing a bowl game.
Yeah, and I will say this. Take it for what it's worth, or do with it what you will. But we pay Kobe Hilton an NIL to do a journal on Pokes Report. And Robert talked to him yesterday, and I heard it myself. I heard the audio. I don't think it was like coach speak, you know. Robert, and this was off the recording, but Robert's like, you know, I won't say anything if you don't want me to, but you know, how are the guys? Like, have you guys lost anything, you know? And he was like, no, we're all still bought in. And what's crazy is we all talk about the bowl streak. We talk about the winning seasons. Like, we don't want to give up the bowl streak. We wanted to win a Big 12 championship. And that's off the table, but we haven't given up. You know, we haven't lost anybody. We all still want to win. So, and in that same vein, Ryan, and we talked about it Monday, and I don't think I've talked to you about it. For any detractors, and there's still a lot of season left, so something could happen. But for any of the detractors, any of the people that said Ollie had quit on this team, he got banged up multiple times throughout that game against BYU and went back out there and picked up yardage, picked up first downs, kept drives alive. So Ollie has no give up.
The way he came walking off the field with his arms around people
and
he's barely walking.
I thought his season was done. Yeah. I thought he was going to the NFL right there.
Yeah.
For real.
No, and Mike talks about, Coach Gundy talks about recruiting players who love the game, who love to play football. If you love to play football, you're getting up for the next week, no matter what happened the week, you know, previous. Yes, you want there to be more than, man, I hope we went out to win a bowl game, or, you know, they don't need to. I think they can go 3-2, but still, the point being, like, you don't want your season to be down to, man, I hope we make a bowl game.
Yeah.
But if you have a bunch of players who love to play football and love to play football with each other, well, next Saturday is another chance we get to do that. And so I think that that probably plays a lot into where Kobe is saying, no, like, we haven't lost anything. We love playing with each other.
Well, and something that Ryan –
playing football with each other.
Something that Ryan and I, we talked about.
Thanks for the clarification.
There are – now, Oklahoma State, there's more talent on this team than 3-4, than 0-4 in Big 12 play.
Yeah.
The argument could be made, though, that they're the worst team in the Big 12, just simply based on record, and I'm not saying that. But there are winnable games left on the schedule. Baylor got hot against Texas Tech. They're having a bad year. We had John Morris on Robert's show on Wednesday. He's the play-by-play voice for Baylor Athletics. I don't know. I don't think Baylor is going to have another performance like that. That's, you know, everyone loves to beat up on Texas Tech, regardless of how good or how bad Texas Tech is, or how good or bad that team is. But I don't think you're going to get another offensive performance like that against Baylor. However, it's their homecoming. It's a 2:30 game, so it's going to be hot and miserable down in Waco off the river. But that's a winnable game. I'm not saying they're going to win, but it's a winnable game. You go through the rest of the schedule, it's winnable. Arizona State, they lose their starting quarterback. Now, Cam Scadabo, if you can't stop the run, it don't matter. I don't care.
Well, backup quarterbacks in Boone Pickens Stadium tend to do well.
Touche. Yeah. But, I mean, that went from a really difficult game to it's still winnable. You're at home. It's homecoming. Arizona State isn't they're not a world beater, you know, and they lost a starting quarterback. Colorado, probably not. But Texas Tech, TCU, those are winnable games. You only need three, right? I mean, obviously you would like to have more.
Sure.
But you only need three wins to get bowl eligible. You can find three wins. Now, I'm going to stick with what Ryan and I talked about yesterday, and I'll allow him a chance if he wants to confirm or deny his part in this. If OSU loses to Baylor on Saturday, they'll miss a bowl. I don't know,
because you got to go 3-1 at that point.
Yeah, and you're 0-4, right? I mean, 0-5. Excuse me. Yeah, 0-5. We just talked about that. You're 0-5. I don't think they quit. I don't think they give up. But at that point, I mean, damn.
Well, you're going to have to win a game somewhere in there that you are probably going to be decently to moderately favored against, right? So you'll have to win in Boulder, which would be a really tough task. Sure,
yeah. Well, it's a morning game.
You'll have to beat a Texas Tech or a TCU in Fort Worth, which has been a struggle for Oklahoma State since TCU's won the conference. Winning in Fort Worth has been a hard thing to do.
In any sport.
Exactly. And I texted you, well, I told you to look at a stat I posted on social media today, and it's not really a surprising stat when you think about it. It more just backs up the narrative that you and I have, you know, kind of conceived of you need to win on Saturday to make a bowl game, and if you don't, it's over. I went back three seasons, okay, all the way back to 2021, looked at every team that started the season 4-4 versus every team that started the season 3-5, and checked to see how often those teams make a bowl
game. Across the nation or Big 12?
FBS. Okay. Across the entire nation. Mm-hmm. So since 2021, there have been 85 teams that have started their season 4-4. 69% of the time, they make a bowl game.
Nice.
So almost 70%. In that same time frame, teams that start 3-5, there's 50 of those teams. They've only reached a bowl game 9 times out of 50. Wow. So you're talking a 70% chance of making a bowl game when you're 4-4. And an 18% chance of making a bowl game when you're 3-5. So, I mean, it's not that surprising. It just more puts numbers behind the message. Mm-hmm. And it shows you that there's a 50% decrease, well, I guess 40%. Mm-hmm. 40% decrease in probability of making a bowl game if you lose this game on Saturday. So that's more quantifies than anything.
Well, and did you say that Baylor has beaten us 4 straight? Is that correct? Is that what you just said, that this would be going?
No. Wait, what do you mean?
4 straight games that – oh, no, in a row this year.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. 4 straight losses. 4 straight losses.
No, I got you. Okay, now, I was thinking the Baylor thing, and I was going, oh, my gosh. Now, I thought we got them last year.
Now, but I did look this up earlier, and it was something when we had
My point was going to be Aranda does have something figured out against Gundy, though.
No, no question. You know, and so, but here's the thing about Baylor football. They're 50-44-4 all-time in homecoming games, but they've won 4 out of their last 5 and 11 out of their last 13. Baylor's faced Oklahoma State in homecoming games twice, 1-1, and the last time was back in 2018 with a 35-31 win.
I remember that game.
What uniforms are they wearing?
Who,
Rain Man?
Oklahoma State?
Yeah, of course.
I think it was all white that game.
2018, Oklahoma State at Baylor.
No, wait, maybe it wasn't.
Oh, it's already locked in. It's recorded. It was all white.
It was all white. I was right. Okay.
But you,
see, when I try to second guess myself, that's when you get wrong. But no, it was all white that game. I remember that.
So like my dad used to say, I've only been wrong once in my
life.
It was when I thought it was wrong, but I was really right.
Mm-hmm.
No, they had black helmets.
They did have black helmets.
Oh,
so, see, I was
what
wondering.
A loser.
Golly. Ryan, remember something once.
Jeez, Ryan.
But no, that was – didn't Charlie Brewer throw the game-winning touchdown to –
they blocked a punt, ran it in. Yeah, it was a – not,
let's not,
a,
let, let's not have that happen.
Not an ideal game.
This
but
is the most winnable game on the rest of the schedule, just in terms of talent of the team you're facing, in my opinion.
Tech, I would agree with that. No, Tech's got a...
Tech's, I think, a lot better of a team than what they played
last
week.
At least their offense. Yep. You know, and Baylor got hot last week against Tech, but Baylor and TCU are a toss-up, but I would rather play in Waco than Fort Worth. But those two games, right, are incredibly winnable.
And they're on the road, so that's the one downfall of
sure,
those.
Sure. And that's the I don't know about y'all. I was shocked that Oklahoma State got a 6:30 for their homecoming game. And someone was like, "Well, it's on ESPN Plus." I'm like, I don't think so. And we looked at it was FS1.
Yeah.
And uh-huh. So that plays into Oklahoma State's favor in hopefully getting one of the three wins. You're at home. Homecoming's always a good game. I don't know about Arizona State. I know that Scadabo has Oklahoma State circled for whatever reason. He had a good game against them a couple of years ago, but he's got them circled. But you're at home, and I'll give the fans some credit. I'm not just going to sit here and rail on them. But for home games, it's been two games since they've been back, but they've shown up. They've voiced their frustration, but they've shown up. 6:30, you know, should be enough time for the students to recover from the all-night pomp. should give the fans enough time to get nice and lubed up during the day and show up and be loud. And if you win, I'll say this, if they beat Baylor this weekend, which it'll be a tall task, you're going to miss some players, right? Obviously, Colin Oliver's still out, Nick Martin's still out. Cam Epps announced today a torn ACL, which I mean, when you see him come up, I think that's what we all expected, but... Rangel, his mom on Instagram announced shoulder surgery to repair the broken collarbone. So you're down to your first, then third string quarterback.
Fourth.
Now your third string is back to first string, and now your second string is your fourth string, and you've got a walk on behind him. So it's going to be tight. But watching Oklahoma State move the ball the way they did on Friday night, if you do that, you can win a ball game. And one thing that Robert talked to Mike Gundy about is, you know, we had 6 or 7 designed runs for Garrett in the first half against BYU. And then Allen goes into the game. He's like, well, you have to do that because now we see, and they should have known, but a running quarterback, it makes the defense honest. Allen's going to have to run. And it's not like he's a statue. He's probably 4'8 and change, but he's not super, super mobile. But Allen is going to have to run the ball. I'm going to hold my breath every time they take a snap, whether it's a pass or a run. But
he's not going to take off for 55 yards like
no.
Rangel did.
No,
in the first
but
half.
But I like what he did against BYU. You make him honest.
Yeah.
You pick up a third down or a first down.
He had
there.
A couple of good runs. So I mean, I don't know in what capacity you use him. If it's more kind of a read option type of thing versus giving him
triple
the,
option.
Yeah. Versus the
look at Army.
So
undefeated.
the thing that I don't like
what
is
do you
when
not like?
When it's. They have a designed QB draw.
Yeah.
And when you do it back-to-back plays in the red zone against Kansas State. But
well,
if
that's Rangel, you know, like the problem I have with at least those two going back to that those two calls, the first one you can get away with the first one. It was read perfectly, but I'll take that one. But you draw up the exact same play and it's slow going and everyone in the stadium knows exactly what that play is going to be when they walk up to the line. That's my problem. If you had a mobile quarterback, you want to drop a designed punt, a designed run, and he picks up maybe like 7 or 8 yards. Hell, line him up again. Let's see if the old Madden trick works. Yeah. But not with Alan Bowman against Kansas State.
I think that Casey Dunn just goes back to, and anytime he calls that QB draw or he thinks about it, I think he thinks back to Bedlam of last year when Allen ran that one in for like a touchdown. 15, yeah. And he thinks, you know what? It worked then. It's going to work every time I run it.
Or he looks at this and he goes, you know that little puke that works at Triple Play Sports? I really pissed him off. I can afford to call that one again.
We can do it again.
Let's do it again, just to piss off Ryan.
If you're calling that for Spencer Sanders, that may work. Mm-hmm. If you're calling that
and it
for
worked
Bowman,
a lot with Spencer Sanders.
Yeah, if you're calling that with Bowman,
sparingly.
And that's the I think that's the issue I have with some of the play calling is that, now, I think Allen, I will agree with, I'm not a yes man, okay? But I will agree with,
I don't know, someone said it yesterday.
That was texted in.
I will.
It was not TPT61, though. It was not me.
That's not you. I will agree with Robert. I do, and I've said it before. I think Allen deserves more credit than he's getting. Is he the best quarterback Oklahoma State's ever had? No.
Taylor Cornelius is.
Taylor Cornelius is. But the problem I have.
Don't side-eye me, Ryan. That's his argument.
Corn dog.
We've had this
given
discussion.
Given time,
on
baby. Number one. But I the problem I have with some of the play calling is that it seems it's almost like you said with Bedlam, but it's worked in the past, so let's go ahead and do it again. But Allen is he can run. Every kid on that roster can run. They're athletes, but Allen is not a run first quarterback. No. And some of the play calls this year are a little it's almost like the defense knows he's not going to run. So why not call a run? But we all know it's not going to work because the play just takes too long to develop.
Yeah.
But they keep going back to it. Like, well, maybe it'll work. Maybe it'll work. And against BYU, he had, I think, it was 3 rushes for 13 yards in his first couple of handoffs or first couple of runs. It worked. You picked up a first down, but you can't keep going back to that well.
He can run every once in a while. I mean, you would hope not.
He's not Taylor Cornelius.
I was saying, you'd hope he'd just not be an oak tree back there and just, you know, get rooted into the ground, not be able to move. I mean, although sometimes when he throws, you'd want him to be rooted into the ground.
At least both feet on the ground.
Both feet on the ground. But he can run. He shouldn't be the primary option to run under any circumstances. And I think that, you know, on Saturday in Waco, if he gets, I don't know, if he runs the ball 5 times, That's probably enough.
5 designed or 5 with scrambles.
I mean, he's not going to scramble.
Does Bowman scramble?
I've never seen him scramble.
I think he scrambles.
No, but I mean, like the I'm going to pull it and I'm going to true RPO. Like, are we talking like design quarterback runs?
Well, yeah,
or is it
yeah.
like we're going to give you an RPO and if you think you see it on 3rd and 2. You know, pull it away from Ollie, which would be so stupid.
I have never seen him do that before, so I'm going to guess that.
So what you're saying is that it'll probably happen because no one knows, and Aranda's going to listen to this podcast and say, hey, we got to be ready for that 3rd and 2.
No, if he has 5 designed QB runs, that's fine.
That's a lot.
I guess. It is a lot, but if you think about it over the course of a game, right, that's...
Yeah, but we're talking about Bowman.
You get 10 drives a game on offense. That's every other drive, and... I mean, how many times did he run it?
So
against how many times did he run it against BYU?
To counter, and that's not even a count, but to add to your point, if Ollie has as successful of a game running the ball as he did against BYU, then I'm cool with Allen having 5.
Allen Bowman ran it 3 times in the BYU.
No, yeah, I'm not
in one half.
I'm just saying, like, if Ollie has a successful run game, then I'm cool with Allen having
so
5 carries.
Let's go back to one of the more successful games this year offensively, OSU versus Arkansas. Okay, 39 points, bunch of yards. How many runs do you think Allen Bowman had? Point to you, Ryan. How many rushes do you think Allen Bowman had that game?
I can think of 2. So I'm going to say he had 1 more than that. I'm going to say 3.
How many do you think?
Repeat the question.
How many runs, how many rushes did Allen Bowman end the game with in our best, one of our better offensive games?
At least from one half.
Is it the,
it was Arkansas.
Arkansas
second
game?
Half was good.
So he ended up with 326 passing yards, okay? He wasn't the greatest through the air. Had a touchdown, had
6.
A pick. He had 5, to your point.
I was going to say four or five. If we can just duplicate
that one. But, you know, going back to your point of Casey Dunn likes to look in the past and go, well, that worked back then. You basically have Mason Rudolph at quarterback again.
Yeah.
with the speed, with the, they're about the same.
In terms of speed, yeah, they're probably about the same.
I'd love to have Mason Rudolph back.
Oh, me too.
Mason, obviously, the better thrower, obviously. However, we weren't calling a bunch of designed runs for Mason.
No.
Hill seemed to do just fine. Chris Carson seemed to do just fine. These guys were able to run the ball. We've got an even better, potentially better running back than that.
How many career rushing yards did Mason Rudolph finish with? So I guess.
How many rushes? That's
part one. Technically, what?
How many does it give him?
There is no way. It says 225.
225 yards?
Does that include sacks? Does that include sacks?
Has to.
What? Mason Rudolph ran it 225 times in 4 years. That's literally, that can't be right.
I was, what were we thinking, like 42? That's insane.
That can't be right.
220, yeah. That has to include sacks.
Yes, there has to have been sacks included in that. Because
what site did you go to?
I went to Sports Reference.
I feel like they would encompass the sacks.
They might. I'm going to go to okstate.com.
That's what I was doing. Going to Mason's profile.
I mean, it says 144.
So not 225?
But 144.
That's crazy.
96 yards, 16. He had 10 rushing touchdowns his senior year.
How many? Mason did?
Yeah.
How many total games did he play? Does it say that?
I mean, all these
that
stats
can't
are.
That can't be true.
It's what it's. You see that, don't you?
It can't be, though.
10 rushing touchdowns.
I know
his
he had the one
year.
Against Texas Tech,
West Virginia.
So two. That's nuts. That's nuts.
That's baffling.
Let me go to the season stats because I pulled up his. Okay, let's
okay,
see.
Okay, he had two against Tech,
one against Tulsa,
two
one against,
against
South
Kansas.
Alabama, TCU. Okay, I guess.
Mason Rudolph is a running quarterback, people.
So what you're telling me is we need to run Alan Bowman.
Boom.
He needs 10 rushing. I mean, how many receiving touchdowns did Mason Rudolph add? Because
probably none.
Because Mason's got one. So I mean, because
Bowman's got one. Yeah, no, I don't think that.
So
Rudolph
I think
ever
at
had
least
a receiving touchdown.
Personally, I don't want to call it a beef, but my.
By the way, he played 42 games, so 144. That'd only be three and a half rushes per game.
Yeah, that makes sense. So
but
I
that's
was
still though. But when I look at Alan Bowman, I think the lack of faith. I think I have in Allen's run game. It's not even the fact that he is or he isn't a mobile quarterback in whatever definition of mobile that you want to use. To me, it's the history of health, the number of injuries and the significance of the injuries. And so not that I view Allen as a fragile quarterback, but I worry that any time he rushes, it's going to be like, oh, my gosh, what?
Well, he's going to get hit at the end of the play. You know it. I mean, unless he runs into the end zone or out of bounds, which is going to take Bowman a long time to get to out of bounds because that's at least 30 yards away, he's going to get hit, you know, unless he's good at sliding. I mean, there's some caveats there, but most of the time he's going to get hit. And, yeah, and the fact that behind that is a true freshman who I assume if Smith gets in there, they're going to try to run him because, I mean, he ran in high school and he ran pretty well in high school. Behind that's a walk-on. Like
Garrett Wilson.
So yeah, we're going downhill quick. So, we kind of got to play like he's
so
fragile.
So Smith took every second-string snap. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it – I think it was Robert's show. I don't think it was the afternoon show. But Tom – I think it was Robert's show on Tuesday. Me and Tom were in the studio, and Jordan Woodruff came in, and we were talking about, you know, Smith taking every second-string snap. If you're the coaching staff, Alan Bowman doesn't need the practice. We saw that against BYU. You've taken so many reps in his career. Allen doesn't need the snaps. He doesn't need the reps. If I'm this coaching staff, just simply based on the odds of they pulled Allen two out of the last four games, he didn't start the BYU game, only came in because of an injury. If I'm the coaching staff, I give Smith every first team rep, whether you're gonna start him or not. And Allen's the starter. But I would give Meluiaki every first team snap. That way, if for whatever reason you have to send him out there, he has reps with Rashad Owens. He has reps handing the ball off to Ollie or throwing to Brennan Presley. He has a cadence with Joe Mahalski. Run him with the twos is good because he's actually getting snaps. But you need to have him running with the ones in case something happens. And I'm not saying that they are or they aren't going to or whatever. But if that were me, I'd give him every first team snap this week.
I'll take it
maybe the rest of the year.
One step a little bit further, because we noticed this pregame at the BYU game. Rangel and Smith threw all the passes. You know how normally you'll see Flores throwing some passes to receivers?
I thought he was hurt.
No.
I just want to say that was such a silly narrative from the people on Twitter. Just a video of the man standing flat-footed pregame throwing passes. Yeah. He's healthy. Clearly, everyone's wrong. Look at him. He's 100%. He's not even moving.
Right.
I get that. And I said this on the show a couple weeks ago, and I'm not going to get into it because we've kind of beat that dead horse enough. Robert has put himself into a situation, being so close to the program, that people don't believe him when he gives facts. And I think that's unfair. So that's all I wanted to say.
Well, and it's a his role is definitely a tough one. You know, I mean, I think about Hunziker and Holcomb. They get to watch practice too. Mm-hmm. But Holcomb's on air. Robert's on air every single day and knows what he can and can't say and has to hear people call in and spout off all this when he knew yesterday at practice he saw Flores not practicing or not doing everything, you know, or whatever. So that would be a tough spot. I mean,
it would.
Obviously envious of Robert being able to see practice all day, every day.
Well, except for last week.
Yeah, they didn't let anyone in last week. Fort Knox.
They didn't let the radio crew in.
No, what?
They didn't let OSU Max into practice last week.
Yeah.
It was strictly staff. So, prediction for the game, Ryan.
I think Oklahoma State wins this one. You need to have it. I don't know. I mean, I think Baylor scoring 70 just about or 60 just about on Texas Tech. I think that's a bit of an anomaly.
I do too.
I don't think that their quarterback Robertson, I think is his name, Sawyer Robertson. I mean, that's his best game of his career. So, if he were to replicate that back to back, sure, Baylor's probably going to win the game. If you can limit the big plays defensively, which I know that's been a kind of a tall task at times.
You have Trey Rucker. If you have Trey Rucker back,
that's another caveat to that.
That helps.
But, you know, just with the variables that we would think are in place, the things that you know can predict versus can and can't, I would say Oklahoma State probably wins, probably one score game, a 4-point, 5-point game, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the score is going to be. Could be a really ugly game. They tend to be sometimes when Oklahoma State's involved. So, I mean, could see it being a game in the 30s, the upper 20s, somewhere in there. So,
Ryan?
I think Baylor wins, unfortunately. I think they do. I'm just not a fan of which way this team is trending. And I'm going to take our team. And if you take both sides, Baylor obviously coming off of 60 points. They're going into this week feeling really good. OSU's coming out licking wounds and trying to figure out who can play. If we're in a who can play, and Coach Gundy's talking about receivers not Brennan Presley, he doesn't even need to practice. We're talking about Bowman, you know, needs to give reps. You're kind of in shambles there.
Yeah.
So I think Baylor takes it. I don't have a clue on the prediction. I think Baylor wins.
That's fair. I've picked against Oklahoma State the last 3 or 4 weeks in
a row. It's worked though,
and it's been right.
So,
but
picking him to win, maybe you've picked him to lose,
you're still
and you're
right.
So maybe you'll still
hopefully
be right. Still
I just think that Baylor's the worst team on paper that Oklahoma State will have on the remainder of the schedule.
It is. They are. And
so
and
if you don't win this one, I mean, I'm probably not going to pick them.
Well,
that's
what I said earlier. Like if OSU loses this one, it's over. They won't make a bowl. They may win a couple more games, but I can't see them getting to a bowl. I could see Baylor winning this game. It's homecoming. It's in Waco. They're used to, and I'm not saying weather, but they're used to that heat in the middle of the day that Oklahoma State hasn't played in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State's kind of banged up. But I think with what we saw, even with the struggles we saw a little bit, Oklahoma State's a better team. I'm kind of with Ryan. I think that 60-point, I think that performance we saw on offense was an anomaly. I don't know if they can replicate it. Now, if Oklahoma State can't stop anything, then now to give Oklahoma State defense credit, they held BYU to 50% passing and they had 3 interceptions. So it wasn't like the passing game had a lot of issues. And Baylor's not a great running team, so Maybe
Dom Richardson hasn't figured it out yet.
Unfortunately, no.
You want to guess the last time that Baylor scored 59 points or more?
3.5 years.
September 3rd of 2022.
2.5 years.
2.5 years.
2 years. So
the last time OSU scored 59 points?
5,000?
Pre-KCW?
I would.
No, I'm pretty sure I can remember something, well, at least during my college days. Where yeah. I'll look. You keep talking.
But I think the fact that Baylor's not a great running team, hopefully that plays in Oklahoma State's favor and they don't give up 250 rushing yards. I'll take Oklahoma State because they know what's at stake. But I wouldn't be surprised if we're sitting here next week talking about a loss. And it would hurt because I don't know if they make a bowl after that. I'll just – they won't make a bowl.
There's an 18% chance that they will.
And you – yeah.
82% chance they won't.
You lose this game, you won't make a bowl. So,
the last time Oklahoma State scored 60 was in 2022 against Pine Bluff. 63.
So it doesn't count.
So when's the last time against a normal –
Yeah. It was 2 weeks before that against Central Michigan when they scored 58. So it's close to 60, but it's not quite there.
Central Michigan. That's going to do it for the Pokeshore podcast. Appreciate Brian for coming up. Always always a treat to do the pod in person. Appreciate Ryan for setting in.
Of course.
For helping.
Did you get any work done?
Co-host?
Nope.
Yay, we win.
Yes!
Didn't get any work done, but it's okay. I've got time.
We will talk to you next time here on PokeshoreReport.com.